Well, happy Easter, y'all. You can go ahead and grab a seat. I'd encourage you to get comfortable, relax. We are so honored that you are here this morning. Happy Easter, everybody, no matter where you are joining us from. What we like to say every weekend is welcome home and welcome to the family. And we genuinely desire, especially on Easter weekend, what could easily feel like a crowd somehow feels like family. No matter where you are joining us from, one of our physical locations all throughout the Rochester area or our digital campus, we hope today from the moment you hit the doors that you felt like this was a family. And so welcome home, welcome to Northridge Church. You know, we've all asked the question, why? We've looked to the heavens, we've looked around our lives, and we've wondered why. It might be the most common question of humanity. And it starts when we are little children, and we never seem to really outgrow that question. Because the question why is a question of understanding. We ask it because we see something that we don't understand, that we want clarity on, and we genuinely want to understand. It starts when we are little kids. Now, don't get me wrong, your kids ask you why a lot just to annoy you as parents. But sometimes they just want to know. They just want to understand. And it's the same for us as adults. There's times in our lives where things don't add up. Things don't make sense. And so we look up to God or we look to others and we ask, why? Why did this happen? Why does this exist? In fact, some of you are asking that question right now. Why did my mom drag me to church this Easter? Why did my boyfriend or girlfriend break up with me? Why can't I seem to find the right job? Why do I have to go to school? And we are all asking in this area, why can't the Bills seem to win a Super Bowl? But this morning, we are starting a brand new series. A series that deals with that question, why. We're calling it Questions, Answers, and the Things You Will Never Know. And in the build-up to this series, we asked our church, we asked social media, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? I even wonder that for you today. If somehow you could ask God just one question and you would get the answer, what would you ask? And so we asked and we got around 250 questions. 250 people wondering, seeking clarity. And in this series, we're gonna navigate some of the hardest why questions we have for God. Like, why does science seem to contradict the Bible? Why can't I seem to stop doing wrong things? Why is it so hard to know what God wants for my life? Why am I here? But as we begin this series, we're gonna start with the most common and the hardest question that people ask to God. Why does a loving God allow suffering? Now, I know this is not what you expected on Easter Sunday. But here at Northridge Church, we like to keep you on your toes. But we also recognize that what we celebrate today has a lot to say to the answer of this question. And what was amazing is when we asked those, if you could ask God one question, of the 250 questions that we got, around 70% of them revolved around this very question. Let me read to you some of the questions people asked. Why am I in so much pain? Why am I chronically ill? Why did I have to have a miscarriage? Why create a world with such darkness? Why do little kids get abused? Why is there so much violence in our world? God, why would you allow all of this to take place? And if I'm honest, I understand the question because I have suffered. I've suffered major lung surgery in my life. I've lost a dad and never got to say goodbye. And so I know suffering. I've looked up to God and wondered, why would you do this? This doesn't make sense. God, could you give me some clarity? And so this morning, we're gonna try to tackle this question. And we're gonna start in John chapter 11. John chapter 11, if you got your Bibles, you can go there and follow along. It'll be on the screen as well. The story starts at a place of suffering. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. And so here we pick up this story and we see suffering. We see a man named Lazarus who is sick. And you have to understand, this is not a cold. This is not some allergies or some sinus thing. This is a sickness that is life-threatening. It's a big deal in Lazarus' life. Now, before we dive too far into Lazarus' story, I wanna just step back. Because we have to understand the context of the story. It's in the book of John, which is one of the Gospels. The Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they tell the story of Jesus. And so Jesus is on the scene in these circumstances, and his ministry has begun. He's started healing people, he's done the miraculous, and he's growing in popularity. And an interesting fact, Jesus is actually really close friends with Lazarus. And so Lazarus is sick, and right from the beginning of the story and all throughout history, the one thing that we know about suffering is everyone suffers. Every one of us suffers. Suffering doesn't show favoritism. It doesn't discriminate. And in fact, if I were to interview all of you here this morning watching at our campuses online, I guarantee you, you could tell me story after story after story in your own life of how you have suffered. Have you had to endure pain? And Lazarus is the same. He's sick, and so his sisters do something. It says, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. And so this served two purposes. The first purpose, I think, is somewhat obvious. If Jesus and Lazarus are really close friends, his sisters are saying, hey, he's getting close to death. You might wanna come home and just say goodbye. How we get that when people we love who are sick, we wanna be there to say goodbye, to usher them into heaven, right? Like we wanna have that conversation. The second fold is Jesus has healing power. Jesus can do what ordinary people can't do. And so they're like, hey, Jesus, your friend, your close friend is sick. We need you to come and intervene. We need you to save Lazarus. And Jesus does something just odd, something wild. Like it doesn't make sense what Jesus does. He waits. He waits 2 days before he actually even begins to travel to his sick friend. Like seriously, Jesus? And so when Jesus shows up to the town where Lazarus lives, he doesn't come to sick Lazarus. He comes to dead Lazarus. He comes to a funeral. And everyone at this funeral is asking the same question. Let's start with Lazarus's sister, Martha. It says, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Martha looks at Jesus and says, why didn't you come sooner? Why wouldn't you show up? He needed you, and why wouldn't you come through? And it wasn't just one of his sisters, it was both of his sisters. Mary said the same thing. It says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Well, God, what were you thinking? Why would you allow this to happen? And it wasn't, this makes sense, right? They're grieving sisters. It makes sense that they would ask the question, but everybody at the funeral is asking the same question. Look at all the Jewish people. It says the Jews said, see how much he loved him? But they said, could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying? Everybody in the story is wondering the same thing we wonder when we endure suffering and pain. God, why would you allow this to happen in my life? God, why would you make me endure this? God, why would you bring this into my life? God, why wouldn't you stop this? And as Jesus gets there and he sees all that's going on, he responds. It says, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. And so in the darkness and the grief and the pain of these circumstances, Jesus responds. And in his response, I think he teaches us a couple things about suffering, our suffering. The first way that Jesus responds is the Bible says that he's moved and troubled. Why is Jesus troubled? Well, I'm sure he's troubled because he sees close friends suffering, but I think it was something greater than that. I think Jesus is troubled because he sees the direct cause of their suffering. You see, when it comes to suffering, here's one thing we have to understand fundamentally. The source of our suffering is sin. Not your sin, not my sin, but humanity's sin. Did you know that God created the world without suffering? God, when he created the world, his initial design of the world, there was no pain, there was no tears, there was no sorrow or grief. It wasn't until humanity thought that their way was better than God's. And so they rebelled against God, they sinned, brought sin into the world, and guess what that brought? Pain, suffering, death. And so the source of our sin, Jesus is bothered because he sees the direct cause of sin in our lives. The second thing Jesus does is he just weeps. He just cries because he just lost a close friend. I mean, think about that. The God of the universe is weeping and mourning and grieving. And what it teaches us is that Jesus identifies and empathizes with our suffering because he has suffered. You see, when it comes to God, I think sometimes we feel like God is so distant, especially when we suffer. Because when we suffer, we often tell ourselves, no one understands. No one gets it. No one knows what I'm going through. And from a human standpoint, that might be true. But the reality is God does. Jesus does because he has suffered. He's mourned the loss of friends. He's grieved. He's wept. He's been abused and mistreated when he was innocent. He understands suffering because he has suffered. And yet the story starts at a pretty dim and dark place. People weeping and mourning. Lazarus is dead. But the reality of Jesus, the very reason he's on the earth, is Jesus doesn't just get the pain you go through. He came to change it. He came to restore it and redeem it. And when it comes to suffering, if there's anyone who knows suffering, it would be a family in our church. Their names are Jess, Keith, and Luke. And for many years, they've suffered through this up and down journey of cancer, being diagnosed, being healed, and it coming back. But rather than tell you their story, I thought you could hear it from them.
I remember like it was yesterday. It was a moment in time that literally stood still. I just found out that I was pregnant. I was super excited. I had 2 weeks. We'd done the announcement. And then due to one phone call, I'll never forget where I was, I heard the word cancer. And I just remember I was in a hallway at the hospital because I work as a nurse. I had a napkin that I wrote it out on because I knew I was going to have to tell my husband that our life was about to drastically change. Thankfully, we went through surgery, everything was great, we had Luke, and we were like, yes, that chapter is behind us, it's done. Right around when Luke was 2.5 years old, I started to have a little bit of back pain. Went to see a chiropractor, that wasn't really working. Then I started to experience a lot more pain. I could barely walk, I spent a lot of time on the couch because doing simple tasks around the house was really, really difficult. Finally, after going through other appointments, I had imaging and I got the phone call again. I'll never forget where I was for that phone call either. We were in the car watching construction together, my son and I. The call came, the cancer's back, it's in your back. And I thought, what? This was supposed to be a chapter behind us. How is it back again? God, like, have I done something? Like, we went through it once. Isn't this good? Like, had to go through surgery, had to go through radiation. We were like, okay, I think that that chapter's behind us. Then, around 2 years later, cancer came back again. This time, I had to find out I had a brain tumor. And each time this news came, I was the one that had to tell my husband that it's back. We have to go through this again. When it first came in 2018, I remember being so angry at God. Not because I had cancer. I was angry at God because I had cancer while I was pregnant. I really felt like he took that from me. Like, I was like, pregnancy's supposed to be amazing. Why are you gonna put this dark cloud of cancer over my pregnancy? And there were times Keith and I would just sit on the couch and cry together. We didn't have words to comfort each other. We just sat and cried together thinking, he's thinking I might lose my whole family. I'm thinking I might meet Jesus too soon. Like, I wasn't ready for that. I still felt like I had a ton of purpose on this side of heaven.
I heard that there are seasons to laugh and to cry. I struggle with the season when you live and you die. It's hard to play this game because the rules, they don't seem fair. If you care, God, if you're still there.
Yeah, so watching her suffer, it's really challenging. It was also hard watching her be frustrated with the tension between things that she had always done and loved to do, things like working out, playing with Luke. I couldn't really meet the needs that she had, not really. Everything that I did was small. It was not really addressing the real problem that we both knew that she had. And yeah, I just felt like I was falling short, like I wasn't living up to what she really needed from me. My biggest fear, I think, would be for Luke. I've heard enough of like how hard it is in kids to lose a parent that I fear for him and how he handles it, and what does his future look like? What does his faith look like? How do I help him through that when I'm terrified to lose my wife too? And Jess is really, you know, obviously she's my partner, she's my love, and she's just a wise support. And to think of trying to raise my son without her, I just feel pretty lost. Whether or not she's healed before she dies or after, she gets healed. Like, the eternal destination isn't in doubt. It really helps me to come back to that and realize God's provision through the whole journey. And there's been a tons of ways that he's provided. Friends, family, so many people going so far out of their way to be kind and generous to us and help us. Times where people were praying for me to have peace and I had peace I should not have had. And, you know, I can look at my son every time and just see the miracle that he is, and he very easily could not be with us. So there's so much faithfulness there, but it's sometimes hard to see in that moment. And one thing we just kept coming back to was this didn't take the Lord by surprise. He's delivered us through really hard times before, and he's been faithful, and he's shown us love. He's continued to grow us. And so I also have to remember that ultimately, no matter what he asks us to go through, he's gonna walk beside us. He loves us and he cares for us.
What happens when the healing never comes? Do we stand and curse the heavens, or lift our hands and feel the sun? The mystery's not clear, just once your voice I'd love to hear.
for Keith and I to memorize a section of scripture. It was Philippians 4, 6 through 10, where it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." And when we first found out, and I had to tell him that I had cancer, that was one of the first things that came to my mind, was rejoice in the Lord always, and that the Lord is near. And I think God gave us that verse so that it was in our hearts. And we'd been meditating, we'd been rehearsing this verse over and over again, so that when the thing that came up, God says, don't be, and I'm here. And then what does the end of that verse say? It says, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, lovely, and admirable, think about these things. So if you're in the middle of suffering, I think sometimes we forget that we have the choice of what to think on. One of my greatest fears is that I won't be around to raise Luke. That God will see that it's somehow I needed in glory more than I'm needed on earth. And those fears tend to rise if I have to miss something with him. When I got one of my scans moved and I thought I was gonna have to miss my son's preschool graduation, my thoughts immediately went to, what else am I gonna miss? Am I gonna miss his high school graduation? Am I gonna miss him getting married? Am I gonna miss his 16th birthday? And I had the opportunity, and it's hard, it's not easy, to stop and say, what am I going to think about? And you just cry out to God and you say, meet me here. Meet me in this really hard moment when I don't know what your plan is. I don't know what my future holds, but I know that that verse says the Lord is near. And when you cry out to him, he's gonna show up. He's gonna show up in a song, in a verse, in a text message, in someone saying something to you. Sometimes I think we think he's gonna show up with the clear scan. That may not be what's actually going to happen, but he is never going to abandon me or forsake me. And I hold on to those promises and I think about them because I have the choice of what I think about. Suffering doesn't win. I win because I have chosen to trust Christ and I know that my eternity is sealed with him. He chose to let his son suffer so that suffering didn't have the final say.
So now we must be silent. Your voice is in the wind. The hands that made the heavens will heal the storm within.
When you begin to even get a glimpse of the pain and the suffering that this family has gone through, still not knowing what the future holds, when you see that they can do it with such hope and assurance, it begins to change the question that we ask. Instead of why, God, we begin to ask God, how? How can I experience such suffering and still have hope and still rejoice and still have peace. And I think Jess and I think Luke and I think Keith would tell you the reason why they can suffer so well is because they understand that Jesus came so suffering wouldn't have the final say in their life. That Jesus came, he left heaven and came to earth to suffer for you so the suffering you're going through right now wouldn't be the final say in your life. You see, the very reason Jesus came to earth was to rescue us from all the hardship in our world. In fact, let's go back to the story, right? People are suffering. Lazarus is dead. They're weeping, they're mourning. And what does Jesus say to his sisters to comfort them? It's not what you think. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus looks at them and he says, you got to understand something about me. I came to resurrect the things in your life that you don't think can be resurrected. I am where resurrection happens and I am where life begins. And it's the very reason why we celebrate today, because of resurrection. And in this story, Jesus wouldn't just say those words, he would prove them. Because in this story, he would raise Lazarus from the dead. He would bring him back to life. And the whole point of that resurrection was to point to why Jesus came. Because it's what we celebrate today, the resurrection of Jesus. But have you ever thought about what a resurrection is? It's when something is dead, it comes alive. It's where hopeless situations have hope. It's where things begin to change. And at the very first Easter, when the women went to the tomb and they were looking for Jesus's dead body, it's why the angel said, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. And that moment in history guarantees you and I something. That moment in history where Jesus conquered his death and he gives us the victory, it promises us that our suffering will end. Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee that one day we don't have to deal with the junk of this world anymore. That he paved a way where tears and mourning and grieving will be no more. It's just like Jess said. Suffering doesn't win because of Jesus. And yet here we are, kind of caught in the middle, longing for the day where suffering ends, but in the midst of suffering right now. And in those moments, it causes us to wonder, why, God? Why do you allow this into my life? Why do I have to walk through this? And if I'm just being completely honest, I'm not sure we will fully know the answer to that question. But when it comes to suffering, I think God gets a bad rap. Because I want you to think about God, right? Imagine if you were God, where you created a perfect world. There was no suffering. There was no pain or mourning until humanity decided to walk away from it, rebel against it. And then suffering came. And then what does humanity do? We blame God for it. We ask God for a solution to it. And what does God do? He gives up his one and only son to suffer in our place for our penalty, to redeem us of our suffering. And we wonder, God, why? Why do I have to go through this? Can you imagine? If you were God, how would you feel? Giving up your only son to hear humanity complain and whine about suffering. And yet, despite all of that, there are windows into our life where God reveals the answer to us. Did you know that God uses and redeems our suffering? Today, if you are suffering, you need to know the truth that God can use it in your life and he will redeem it. One of the greatest ways God uses suffering is just to get our attention. Because let's be honest, would we ever see the need for God if everything was good in our life? If there was no suffering or hardship? No. When do we look to the heavens? When do we go to God? When things get difficult and hard, it's when we wonder there has to be something greater. You see, God actually uses suffering to get our attention, to wake us up. I love what C.S. Lewis says about this. He says, we can ignore even pleasures, but pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world, because God, although he allows it, he uses it and he redeems it. That God can bring purpose despite your pain. He can grow you, stretch you. In fact, the Bible says it like this in Romans chapter 8. It says, and we know, we can have confidence that in all things meaning the good, the great, the beautiful, but it also means the horrible, the ugly, the painful. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purposes. God redeems our struggle and our pain. And so I would be bold enough to say today that with God, the benefits of suffering outweigh the pain. And I get that's a hard pill to swallow when you are suffering. Because when we suffer, we often can't see beyond ourselves and the pain that we're enduring. But my promise is with God, the benefits that he will provide in your life through that suffering far outweigh the pain of it. Did you know that God spares people from suffering? I think about my dad every time I read this verse. It says, the righteous perish and no one takes it to heart. The devout are taken away and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. That sometimes God brings people to heaven early because he is sparing them from hardship and pain in life. So as we suffer, because God never promises that here on this world we will not suffer. We will, every one of us. So as we suffer, remember Jesus' words to sisters who were hurting, grieving, experiencing pain. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the one who can resurrect the suffering in your life. I'm the one who can bring purpose despite your pain. And then he asks them a simple question. He says, do you believe this? And it's the same question I would ask you today. Do you believe this? I'm not asking if you know it, because everybody shows up on Easter and we know the story. We know that Jesus died. We know that he resurrected. You could tell me the facts. You have the knowledge. In America, we have the knowledge of the gospel, and it's one thing to know it. The enemy, the devil, knows the story of Easter. But do you believe it? Have you surrendered to it? Do you believe that although you suffer, God can use it in your life and he can redeem you from it? Do you believe that he made a way through his son on a cross, suffering in your place, that he made a way so you don't have to suffer ever again? Do you believe it? Well, this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to. So if you just bow your heads and quiet your hearts. If you're here today and you are suffering, I just want you to know that we are here for you. That we would love as a church to walk with you through that pain, to pray for you, to provide for you, to comfort you. That's what a family does. But what we can do is limited. But what God can do in your life is unlimited. And today, the best choice that you can make, and despite your suffering, is to surrender to the one who saved you from it. And if you want to do that this morning, it's simple. It's a cry of your heart and a belief with your words. God, I'm a sinner. And I recognize that humanity's sin is the very cause of our suffering. But Jesus, you saved me from it through suffering for me, by going to a cross and defeating the grave through your resurrection. And today, I believe that. I believe, Jesus, that you are alive. And because you are alive, I can be alive. So God, help me to suffer well. Forgive me of my sins and lead my life. Today, I'm expressing and showing you my belief. And if you said that to God, I would just encourage you to tell somebody, to let somebody know, the person who invited you, your campus pastor, or a simple way, we have a website, you can go to iwant.info, and there's a big banner right at the top of that website that says, I accepted Jesus. We're just gonna ask for your name and your email. We wanna send you resources to help you walk with Jesus, to answer any questions that you have. But today we celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive. And because of him, we can be too. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you, despite all the hardship in our life, we have hope because of you. And so help us to suffer well, Lord, until we get to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.